All right, we're back. We'll go ahead and start. People will be joining us as they get back here. Hold on, I gotta get my glasses. Hold on. Just trying to do this attached to my mic. Okay. All right. So do you realize that the homework I'm giving you for this week says week 9 on it? Week 9. We've been doing this a while. And I'm starting to feel like it takes almost this long to start to get in the groove of it. So I feel like these next few weeks will be wonderful. You know, we're kind of moving along. You're all getting an idea of how you get to personalize this for you. But so this round, we're going to work on some pranayamas. We're going to learn a pranayama called Ujjayi breath, which I started teaching in the group meditations, and that's where we'll mostly work on it. But I had assigned you to watch the video. And what I want to say up front about Ujjayi breath. Now, Agnieszka and Lisa may have other experience with this, but it's not a simple breath to teach because everybody hears it so differently. And I have taught it in so many different ways over the years, and not one way works for everybody is what I found. So the video you watched, if you haven't had a chance to watch it, it's teaching it in a way where we contract the throat and we go like you're breathing on a mirror. You know, when you want to fog a mirror, how many of you watched the video? Almost everybody. Oh, really? Almost everybody. Steve, did you watch it too? Was your hand up? Oh, well then shit, I'm not going to talk about that. So here's another way. But before I do, how many of you got it from that? How many of you can breathe with joy? Steve did not. Okay, exactly. So here I'm going to teach, we're going to work today a little bit with the way I'm teaching it in class this round. And this is an important breath. Ujjayi breath is an important breath for many reasons. But the way we're working with it right now is to really, really drive home the distinction between a pranayama and hung sa. Now, some people call hung sa pranayama, but to me, it's not a pranayama. It's in this way we're looking at pranayama. Pranayama is where we are learning to consciously control not just the breath, but our attention, our awareness, and where our energy is going. Where the prana, the life force that inhabits us, how we can, well, that's a bad word, but manipulate it. Okay? We can use it. We can move it. We can consciously control our energy is what pranayama is teaching us. Whereas hung sa is about literally surrendering all control and trusting that if you just show up, if you just show up for the breath as your teacher, it will teach you absolutely everything you need to know to find home. Home being your wholeness, your connection, your pure, clear awareness of it all. And so hung sa is considered what they call a primary technique. We have primary techniques, which are considered techniques that literally get you to samadhi, nirvana, enlightenment. In other words, you do this technique and you will get there. And we have secondary techniques, which are techniques that kind of prepare you, prepare your body, prepare your energy, prepare your stamina for the primary techniques. And what's unique about Hong Sa is that it's the easiest on one level of the primary techniques. And at the same time, it's also, it's not easy. Because we have such subtle levels of control. We have fear around surrendering. We have doubt about our experience. And so surrendering to Hong Sa taps into those three things, which are key, what we would call obstacles to experiencing the truth of who we are. That moment of clear, connected oneness that is just infused with love and bliss. And bliss, not in the sense of bouncing off the walls, but just a deep, deep place of. And here's what the reason why we also do the body scan is because yesterday I had that. In the midst of this other stuff, in the midst of this heartache and all this, I was in my kitchen yesterday and I was in, well, my teacher might say the outer fringes of samadhi. I was completely, deeply content and happy in a way that was beyond anything I could put words to. In the midst of, you know, this other stuff. This powerful shit we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. This works. So, Hong Sa. For our purposes here, now, I mean, keep in mind, some people would call it a pranayama, but we're not in this context. Pranayama is three-part breath, is counting breath, is sipping breath, is e-mantra, is ujjayi breath. Hong Sa is surrender, complete surrender and trust. Okay, so I want to make sure that was clear. And so let's come back to ujjayi breath. The way I'm teaching it this round, and maybe next week we can hear from Lisa and Agnieszka how they teach it, because it's fascinating to me. I feel like the more ways you know to teach it, the more effective you're going to be. So the way we're going to do it, we're doing it right now in class, is we're just breathing through our mouth. Just breathe through your mouth. Okay, so just try that. Everybody, just. Now you can hear me because I got the mic, right? You can hear me? I'm going to be quiet. Can you hear yourself? Okay, I'm seeing some nods. Laura, are you hearing it? Okay. Brenda? Agnieszka? Steve? Lisa? From Lisa Two Eyes? Can you hear it? I mean, I know you know. Okay, Kelsey, can you hear it? Okay. And April, you're hearing it. All right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. That sound, that is the beginner's way of doing ujjayi breath. We want to hear that sound. If we were in the room together, I'd be going to each one of you so I could hear that sound, right? A lot of times when people teach it, they want you to make that sound so loud you can hear it across the room. People used to teach it, calling it Darth Vader breath, right? But those are learning tools, learning techniques to just help you recognize that one of the there's different meanings for ujjayi breath. And one of the different names they give it is ocean sounding breath, because it has the sound when you put the shell up to your ear. Like just put your hand, cup your hand and put it to your ear. It's really subtle, but can you hear it? Just that little. Yeah. Okay. And as kids, you all did it, right? You put a shell to your ear. All right. That's the sound that we were looking for in the beginning. As we move into more familiarity and comfort with Ujjayi breath, there's hardly any sound at all. And there's a whole different experience of it. But for this part right now, we want that sound. And it's what's going on. And if some of you know more physically what's going on, please correct me if I have this wrong. But you can't just inhale all that air in. The throat contracts to help pull the air in. Something has to pull it in. Does that make sense? So another word for Ujjayi breath is drawing breath. We're drawing the breath in. Okay, so that, there's a slight contraction in here. Can you feel that? See if you can find it. I'm seeing nods. Are we feeling it? Okay, that's technically called the glottis. And I actually went online. I suggest you do it too. Because I have little models, but I don't have a model of the glottis. But it's where the valves back there open and close. And it, Laura, you're the person. The glottis.
Yeah, you had it right. It's where the glottis just kind of opens and closes when you breathe. So if you kind of push it partly in, then it closes partly and then it creates that sound.
Mwah. Laura is a speech pathologist. We call you pathologist, right? Mm-hmm. She helps. Yes, exactly. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to guide you through this. We're going to start with our, and then one by one, we're going to close our mouth and try and keep the sound. And then we're going to not inhale through our mouth. We're going to inhale through our nose. So we're going to learn, but we're going to get there step by step. Okay. So you can close your eyes if you want to. Just sit comfortably. You know, sitting upright is best for this. We won't be here long. Ground yourself in your seat. Feel that solid anchor of your seat, your feet, and your hands. Take that opening breath that brings that spaciousness into the torso. See if you can feel that torso lightening and lifting. Let the neck lighten and float above the collarbones. And let the head float above the neck. Shoulders are soft. So this isn't a strained breath. This is we're relaxed. And then we just open the mouth and we begin to breathe through the mouth. And I don't want you to slow it down, just a normal breath. And your exhale, still body is softening just like it normally does. Now what we're going to do is when you feel ready, you're going to close the mouth on your exhale and see if you can exhale and keep that sound. Keep that feeling in the throat, the glottis, and that sound. So you're opening the mouth for the inhale, closing it for the exhale. Looks like you've got it. So when you feel ready, just keep this rhythm, keep this pattern. It's very relaxing. It's very relaxing. When you feel ready, switch, keep the mouth closed and inhale through the nostrils, keeping that sound. You're going to feel the breath in your throat. You'll still feel that coolness in the nostrils, but you're going to So hopefully you're very relaxed. My cable connection dropped, so you're all in here breathing on your own, wondering, where did she go? So let's take advantage of this. And how did you do? Was it relaxing? Could you find it? Could you find it? Just anybody not find it?
Can I just say that, I have always loved this pranayama, like, for years, I've used this pranayama, so I love it. I get right into it. This is the first time that I've tried it with my mouth open. And I actually found it harder to do with my mouth open than, I've never done it before that way. Other than like, you know, your tutorial where you're breathing into it like a mirror, but just naturally, I don't feel it when my mouth is open. Like I need my mouth to be closed to really get that kind of the
drawing.
Yeah.
So let's be really clear. Ujjayi breath is done with a mouth closed. That is purely a teaching technique.
Okay.
It's literally just the technique to help people find the sound.
Okay.
Because I found that the whisper. What are the other ones? There's it's, so this is another way. And Steve, what I'm curious to know, did that help you find it?
Yeah, I mean, it helped me find it. I kind of like the Darth Vader. I know you're not teaching that one. I kind of like that, imagery or soundery or whatever. It helped me find it. It's funny, I'm contrasting it to Hong Sa, which seems so much nicer. But I'm working on it. Yeah. I mean, yes.
You found the sound though, and you could find it with your mouth closed, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's all we want right now. Okay. And I want to just make sure each one of you has that. And there's so much we can do with this breath, and there's just beautiful benefits of it, but I'm going to save that for your class, the group meditation, because I don't want to take the time for it here. But so Ujjayi breath. And you notice how relaxing it is, right? To just like that. They say it's really good for lowering blood pressure, right? So I was teaching a class on lowering blood pressure, and we were doing this breath, but I wasn't teaching it like this. We were extending the inhale, extending the exhale. What we'd find, because I had the machines, afterwards, everybody's blood pressure had gone up. And I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? You know, wait, this is supposed to lower blood pressure. But what it was as soon as when we move on to the next phases of this, where we learn to extend the inhale, extend the hold, extend the exhale. That's actual training. That's like getting out there and running or walking or doing something. And so that does raise the blood pressure initially. But ultimately, it sets up a patterning in the body that actually does lower your blood pressure. But the way for your blood pressure to go down in the moment, like if you're in there, and I don't know if y'all too young, but I go in for my blood pressure now, and I get in there, and it's like 140, right? And they're like, ah, we got to take it again. And so I sit there, and if I go, I can find calmness. But if I go to, can you hear it? I was doing it soft. Could you hear the ujjayi? Was it loud enough? And I just allow my body to naturally relax. And when they take it again, my blood pressure is back down to 120 or whatever it is. So there we go. For whatever it's worth. All right. Enough of ujjayi breath. We've got half an hour. So let's do a quick meditation routine. April's exempt because she's in COVID recovery. So we're going to do find your seat, invocation, resurrection breath, three-part breath. One, breath to soften and release, maybe three or four. How many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then we'll do moment of Hong Sa. And then we're going to close. So that's 7. Choose one you have not done before. So I don't want Agnieszka doing three-part breath. That's not going to happen. Okay? Because she's got that. Do one that you enjoy. Choose one. So who would like to do just get us present? Feel your seat, hear the sounds, you know, just a brief, bring us present. Agnieszka, okay. Who would like to do the invocation? Lisa? Was that you? Okay, so Lisa Sawyer, invocation. Who would like to do the resurrection breath? Kelsey? Okay. Who would like to do three-part breath? Guide us through a three-part breath. Brenda? Okay. Who would like to lead us through the breath to soften and release? Lisa? Other Lisa? Okay. Who would like to lead us into Hong Sa? Oh, Steve and Laura, we got two. Okay, I'm going to give it to Steve. And then, Laura, will you close us out? With a blessing. Doesn't matter. It can be anything. The idea of a closing is that we're just somehow sending it out to somebody beside us. We're keeping the gates open, right? Now, was that everybody? Did everybody get one besides April? Okay. And you know your order? You know what you have? Because now I didn't write it down, so I'm going to depend on you. And let's just
take a question.
Yeah.
Do we read the Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti after the invocation?
You know what, Lisa? I actually just feel it out. It's like I'm in the moment, and if I feel like saying it, I say it. And if I don't, if I feel complete, I don't. So do you feel like in your place where you can just trust how you feel? Or do you want me to give you an answer? I tell you what, I'm going to give you an answer.
I have trust issues, apparently.
No, it occurred to me. Let me give you an answer. Say the Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And that'll be like the close. That'll be the cue. Okay. All right. So, Agnieszka, you starting us out? You guys might want to just be unmuted, unless you have dogs barking, so that you can kind of be in your zone. Okay? All right. It's yours, Agnieszka.
begin by, I'm going to find a comfortable position for my pelvis or my buttocks, sitting either on the cushion or on a chair. And if I'm relaxing my legs, allowing them to release into the support, whatever that is. Allowing my legs and pelvis to become heavy and release down into that support underneath it. Sit bones become heavier. The bottom of the pelvis descends down. I feel the warmth of my palms resting on my lap. And as part of my awareness stays with the body, touching the ground, my palms touching my legs, I begin to notice the sounds around. Just noticing as they come and go. Still connected with my seat. Firmly grounded and stable.
O great spirit, saints and sages of all religions, all places and all times, and to my own precious Ishtar Devata, I bow to you all. Sweep clear the obstacles on our path and lead us to the other shore of that ocean of awareness. O ye powers that be, help us to awaken in all aspiring souls your eternal wisdom and unselfish love. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
I'll begin with the resurrection breath by gently inhaling. Turn your head over your left shoulder, double exhale. Gently turn to the front. Inhale fresh and new.
So I'm going to take a breath in through my nostrils. We're going to find that breath all the way down into the belly. And then lifting up the breath into the chest. And one more lift up under the collarbone. And exhaling out through the mouth. Are we supposed to do three of these, Karen?
Just one.
Just one. Okay.
Now we're going to move into another couple breaths to soften and release just a little bit more. So reconnecting with those sits bones. Take a slow, full breath in through the nose. You can exhale through the nose or through the mouth, softening forehead, softening the sides of the cheeks, the jaw. And let's take another slow, full breath in. And we'll soften from the crown of the head to the shoulders, to the belly. And then we'll do one more slow, full breath in. Soften forehead, jaw, shoulders, belly, hips, thighs, and all the way down into the feet. And if there's any area of the body that you're noticing tension in. Take one more slow, full breath into that area. And just imagine it softening. And now I think we're going to slip into a few breaths of Hong Sa.
All right, let's focus on working on releasing body consciousness. So before we begin, take a couple of three-part breaths. Get ourselves grounded again. Let's find our seat. Feel the weight resting on your seat. On the chair, on the cushion. Let's do 2-3 part breaths to get us centered and focused. So, the belly, chest, through the collarbone, breathe out. Let's do one more. The belly, chest, the collarbone, pause there, breathe out through the mouth. Now let's focus, let's release that technique. Let's focus on releasing body consciousness. Let it breath, breathe you. So, breath, breathe you. Just whisper to yourself Hong when the breath comes in and Sa when the breath comes out. I'm going to remember that this, let's remember that we're coming home. This is like that story about the gander or the turtles going back to the ocean. So we're going to let the breath. Let's do that for about 30 seconds. Hung on the in and saw on the out.
Time for the closing. So for the closing, I'm going to do a blessing. So may you be blessed. May you be blessed. May you be triply blessed. And I don't remember the words, but the intonation goes.
That you may be an even greater blessing to others.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
a lot better. Yeah.
True.
That was the best, Laura. That'll be our little joke now. We'll just end it with. All right, you guys, that was really good. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. How do you feel? Yeah. Less nervous about doing it now? Yeah, I could hear it in your voices. Brenda, no. Lisa, no. Okay. I could hear in some of your voices. Yeah.
I think Steve could lead it on his own now.
Yeah, Steve, that was really nice. It was
Maybe a question on the saw breath, or maybe we're not there. Are we on?
Questions. Good time for questions. Yes.
It's like when you focus on letting the breath breathe you, there's an inclination to actively breathe, right? To take control of the breath.
Yeah, that's a challenge. Exactly.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And I'm realizing what it is to have the breath breathe you as opposed to not taking over. I'm not sure if I'm doing it quite, but I think I am. Anyway, okay. So that's the challenge. That's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah. Now, and here's what, this is the beauty of how normal this is. This is, how many years have you all heard about Hong Song, right? And how many years have you heard me say, let the breath breathe you? But it's not normal. It's not intuitive. It's not natural. And that's the beautiful, you know, the richness of this technique. It seems so simple, but it isn't. And what Steve said, that's the journey. Well, I think I've got it, but I don't know. But I think I do, right? And what happens is you realize there are deeper and deeper levels of letting go. And the more you let go in Hong Sa, the more you can let go in your real life, in your everyday life. It's like they just go together. It's like peanut butter and jelly, but you know, it's not true. You could have peanut butter and honey, but peanut butter and something. Just to cut, you know, because peanut butter is so sticky in your mouth. You put just a little honey in it or a little something just to smooth it out, right? It's like, am I doing it? Am I not doing it? This is just how it goes. That's the dance. And you'll have moments where you just, I've got it. It's smooth. I'm let go. And then, well, you'll figure it out. I mean, that's the journey. And it's not about getting there. It's about the process. It's the process. It's exactly back to what Lisa was saying in the beginning. It's like she's in the body scan, but she knows there's a point where, okay, I need to move out at this area of my body. And it's a process. Hong Sa is a process. And the process is valuable. It's not about the end result. So any other questions or comments? Agnieszka, yeah.
I don't know if this is the right question, if this is the right moment for this question, but what you said about Hong So or letting the breath breathe us, surrendering will kind of teach us to surrender in life. And it goes against my, 50 some years of training. You have to make things happen. You have to be proactive. You have to set up goals and this and that. And I think by nature, I want to surrender because I don't want to, I don't know. But I stepped away from it. And I love the idea. I know it's very challenging for me to let go and surrender to even Hong's the breath. But how do you, I don't know. If this is not the right time for this question, I understand. But I'm very confused.
No, it's a perfect time for this question because we've introduced Hong Sa, not just in class or group meditation where we're doing Hong Sa, but we're studying Hong Sa now, right? We're learning Hong Sa. It's different. And this idea of surrender and the levels of releasing control are, I don't know how to even say it. It's like that. This is the crux of it. So how do you surrender? For me, one of the things I did that helped me understand what it meant is I would do something where my body wasn't calm, and a pranayama. Like I would do sipping breath and E mantra. You do E mantra. You don't end E mantra you end E mantra and you feel great and you're kind of floating in there, but your body has just worked. So it's not, taking just light, little, shallow, nothing breaths, you know. Or I would do Kapalabhati, which we'll learn at another, you know, breath of fire. Because then I would sit there and my body, if I was surrendering, my body was breathing like this. And everything in you wants to do Hong Sa. You think that's Hong Sa. And so I would train myself by, and I didn't make this up. I heard this from a monk who was part of Self-Realization Fellowship, which is the Yogananda, who is part of the Kriya lineage. That's the organization he founded. And I was attending one of the centers here in Portland. His monk was visiting and he said he had learned this because he was out jogging and he stopped to sit on the bench for some reason. And as he was sitting there, he started to do Hong Sa because but his Hong Sa was, and that's when he realized he was still controlling his breath. He's a monk. He's been doing this for decades. And it wasn't until that moment he realized he was still controlling his breath, trying to control his breath. And so that's what gave me the idea. Oh, hey, why don't I? This was very early on for me, fortunately. Why don't I do something that makes my body not be in a calm, simple breath pattern? And that's one of the things I did to help me learn to surrender. Did that help, Agnieszka? Did that make, no? Okay. All right. Then a deeper level of surrender. What are you talking about? Let's try some more.
You mean you do more, I don't think I understand. So you do a more controlled breath and then you.
No. I do something where my breath isn't going to be. It can't be. Because I'm going to take a little bunny trail here, but it's related. One of the challenges with Hong Sa is when you bring the mantra in, the mantra wants to go to Hong Sa, and become really, and it becomes hypnotic. And the mantra starts working you. But that's not Hong Sa. Hong Sa is the breath. The breath leads the mantra. So when you're surrendering to the breath, if you're really surrendering, the breath is not going to go. It goes, okay, this is what I do. Let me try. I'm going to see if I can do this for you guys. Okay, can you see my hand? Let's see if you can see my hand. You see my fingers?
Yes.
You guys see that? Okay, I'm going to breathe Hong Sa. And I'm going to, when I'm inhaling, I'm going to do this. As it's pausing, I'm going to do this. As I'm exhaling, I'm going to do this. It's pausing, it's going to do this, okay? And if I'm going to breathe it with the mantra first, which is the way most of you are tempted to breathe it, where it goes. Give me a minute to just kind of, okay. Okay, that's the mantra breathing me. Okay, here's if I go into Hong Sa, this is what's going to happen. Okay, now it's going to start speeding itself up. So you got the idea. Did you see it? Was it the same? It wasn't the same at all. I totally surrendered to the breath, and I was just following the breath. My mantra followed the breath, and the breath was not the same. I have practiced getting this finger thing going, specifically to teach you guys, so that my finger would actually just follow my breath and wouldn't have to be thinking about it. Because I heard from that same monk, that was one of the ways somebody demonstrated to him, one of the leaders. So surrendering means give up all idea of what you think the breath should do. And really just, you're going to find it's, and that's why I will say sometimes it messes with you. At least it does with me. It goes, oh, really? You surrendering? Let's try this. And it'll talk like, right? And then it'll go. And I have found that if I completely surrender my body, my body's completely relaxed, that helps. Because then my body actually responds a little bit too. Does that help, Agnieszka?
Yeah, a little. But would it, I had an idea or thought, would it be okay to start the inhale so it leads and then add the sound like a second later? And then start the exhale and then start the saw a little later.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Find it. And what can be tricky with the pauses is if your breath is slowing down, the hong is becoming hong. Well, where's the pause? Where's the end of the breath? Right? So you wait until you're actually inhaling, saw, and let the saw. And yes, that's totally fine. Eventually it all comes together, but in the beginning, finding it, you get to play with it. Play with it. I mean, have fun with it. It's an experiment.
You know, I have been doing it for some years now, and anytime I focus on my breath, the sound comes. I mean, the mantra, but I'm sure I'm not surrendering. It's still, I don't know. I'm having a hard time to let go.
Well, does your breath have a really consistent pattern?
Yeah. I would say so.
So maybe for you, and this is what I recommended to Steve at one point. It's like when you're out walking or doing something like that, stop and just follow the breath. After you've done some intense asana, do Hong Sa then. I mean, Hong Sa is one of those things. You can do it anywhere. You can do it with your eyes open, right? You don't have to be seated in posture to do Hong Sa. You can do it anywhere. And so maybe that's a nice way to experiment and find out, am I controlling or am I following? And if starting the mantra just a bit later helps you follow, then that's a great, great idea.
Thank you.
April, you were going to say something.
Just really quickly. I've struggled with Hong Sa for years, but having it be a really focus of the homework this week was the best ever, because I found like I couldn't wait to sit down and get through the steps to get to Hong Sa. Mm-hmm. And then I would just lose myself. I don't even know how long I was sitting, but I was really excited about that. But I have this, I guess, an example in my mind about what it's like. And I think of it as being on autopilot. I keep going to this example, so I want to know if it's correct, I guess. Like, you know, when you're thinking about something, you're driving to a place, you know, like you're driving home and all of a sudden you arrive home and you're like, oh shit, how did I get here? Like I just was on autopilot. I just mm-hmm. went and I didn't think about driving. I just got there. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was imagining this week as I sat each day doing Hong Sa. It was a similar feeling. Like when I would come out of it, I had to make myself come out of it. And it was like, I'm still in this room. And it was a similar feeling to getting someplace and not knowing how you got there, because it was almost out of body, you know, like I'm just, so my brain, okay. So here's the thing is that, and I don't remember which book it was in, but one of them talked about, you know, when you observe something, you change it. And we know this in science, but when it comes to meditation, where the similarity, I'm trying to figure out where that fits in here, because
it fits exactly in.
Because when we're breathing Hong Sa, we're not, you're getting to that place where you can observe it without changing it.
Exactly.
Or are you? Like it's, so I'm just fascinated by that idea.
And you're dead on. That's exactly it. And the more you recede, so that you become more and more aware, there's this wonderful phenomena that happens, which is where you, the way they say it is that it's like you are you, you're doing the technique Hong Sa, and there is you, the technique, and the doing of the technique. So I should probably, so the doing of the technique. But somewhere in there, they all merge. And the doer, the technique, and the doing of the technique just all merge into one. And I'm thinking that may be what you're experiencing in there. When that moment of where you're, as long as you're still hearing the Hong Sa, you're still with the breath, mm-hmm. then it's all kind of merging together. And it is a really lovely feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a really lovely feeling. And, yeah. So maybe I never thought of it that way. Maybe it is kind of like autopilot. My only thing would be make sure that you're still hearing the Hong Sa.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. I mean, I'm really sticking with it. And every once in a while I might shift and can come right back to it. But for the most part, I'm able to really like hear it and watch my breath. Like, oh, it's my breath doesn't do that. It's like, the Hong part is really short and the Sa is longer. And then sometimes it's like quick little snaps of Hong. And anyway, it changes up all the time, but I could hear it, but I'm fascinated by the fact that I can observe it and not change it. Like that part is really, interesting to me.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
Because it's usually the, as you said, even in physics, they found out just the process of somebody observing changes the phenomena. It
yeah.
has an effect, right? Think about it for just a second. If you've gotten yourself so far out of the way that you are the phenomena, you're home. You're home. You're there. You've breathed Hong Sa, you've merged with the technique, and you're not observing, you are the technique, you are the Hong Sa, you are the vibration, you are home. It's home.
So I'm interested to know how long it will take before I can do Hong Sa when there's, like, I look forward to coming out here and sitting in just like my own blissful space and doing it. But
I'm going to answer her question before she finishes it. But while she's talking, I want the rest of you to start breathing Hong Sa. And April, you keep talking.
So, you know, when the
eyes open,
the chaos is happening around me, because I've heard you talk about that before, is that, you know, you just can like breathe Hong Sa and you can remember who you are and, you know, that all of the stuff out there or the stuff in here, you know, is kind of disappears for a moment or it can pause while you breathe Hong Sa. It's not that I don't doubt that I'll get there, but I doubt that I'll get there.
Okay. Let me just ask a question now. How many of you are able to just keep breathing Hong Sa as you were able to listen. Yeah? Yeah. Was it kind of calming? Maybe a little challenging, but as you, the more you do, it's like Agnieszka said, she, as soon as she breathes, she hears Hong, right? It's become, you will get there. And what you might want to do is practice. Just be at the sink. Be sitting at the computer and just for a moment, just tap into your breath. Hong Sa. Hong Sa. And this is what I'm tempted to say, and I don't mean it in any way dismissive, but it's a non-question. It's a non-question because you are actually all Hong Sa. We're not making up this Hong Sa.
Yeah.
We did not make this mantra up. It almost brings me to tears to say this, but it's like that mantra is, it is. It's a sound, it is. It's already there. You're just remembering it and finding it. So there's nothing to, it's there. You're discovering it. And that it's home because you will, it's the place you will feel the most loved, the most cared for, the most intimate, the most whole, enfolded. And it's already there. It's already there. So it's literally like Hong Sa is, it's as if I sent the, what do you call those things? The life preserver, right? It's like I threw it out to you and you, as we were pulling it back in, it's like that we're bringing you home. That's Hong Sa. That's Hong Sa. And so I don't know what else to say. It unfolds on its own. I can't teach you Hong Sa. You can discover Hong Sa. And you discover it's bringing you home. And it's not that you feel this every time. I don't feel this every time I breathe Hong Sa. But I feel it. I felt it enough times that I know it. And that's, we just want you to know it. Here's the thing. I'll leave in on this point. We cannot function in this world and be in that other world. That is a skill for the most advanced teachers, to be in two worlds. So we taste Hong Sa. It shifts us, but we come back here when we function, right? So you're not doing it wrong, and there's nothing holding that expectation that you're going to live in Hong Sa land. I don't know about you, but for me, that's lifetimes away. You know, for now, we just feel it. It changes us every time we're in that. It shifts something deep within our energy, our energetic body, right? And that's enough. That's enough. Kriyananda would say that if you tasted once, you tasted that feeling of, he wouldn't use this word, but I can't remember how he would say it, that absolute connectedness and oneness of all. You only have to taste it once and you will remember it the rest of your life and you will know something that will shape the rest of your life. You don't have to feel it every day, every moment. Is it so? I hope that brings you some perspective on this process. I never know if what I'm saying is relevant or if it's just me enjoying my sound of my own voice. I just love this shit so much. And it's like, you guys are interested. It's like, oh, let's talk about this. My family is not, let me tell you this. Oh, so does that help with Hong Sa a bit? Is that get us? Okay. Then let's talk for a moment about moms. Let's translate to moms. And here's why moms and dads are important, right? I asked my husband this morning, I said, so how are you, what are you thinking about your mom? It's Mother's Day, right? He goes, no, she's passed. It's been, you know, over 10 years. You know, it's not a lot of warmth. You know, but I don't hate her like I used to, you know, but there's not a lot of warmth. And I asked him the question because I was trying to figure out how do I shorten this up today and just kind of pump the point out there. And when he said it, it gave me that answer, which is that the most important thing we can do for ourselves is to have compassion for our moms and to see our moms as complex beings who were dealing with things that you will never ever know. Do you hear that? You will never ever ever know your mom from her lips. She will never ever tell you those things. They're too intimate. They're too personal. Those of you who have kids, think about it. Have you talked to your mom about this stuff? What do you talk to your mom about? Right? I mean, what do you talk to your kids about? I'm sorry, I said that backwards. What do you talk to your kids about? You don't tell your kids, you know, that your sex life sucks. You don't tell your kids that your marriage has been a huge disappointment and you've had to make peace with things that, you know, you left a lot of yourself behind. You don't tell your kids your heartbreaks. And those of you who don't have kids, I mean, it's the same thing. Who do you tell these things to, right? The only way we can really know our parents, our moms, is to look at ourselves and start to find our parents in us. Find your mom in you. And when you start this journey, it takes years. This is not something you're going to do in one little thing, but it's a new way of looking at your mom and holding her with such compassion, but compassion because she's not on a pedestal. I don't know how many of you ever send a Hallmark card to your mom, you know, but I used to. And then I stopped because I'm like, fuck this shit. My mom's not Hallmark mom. She wasn't there. She wasn't. I mean, my mom set me up with my molester, right? It's like, what the fuck? You know, and I had to get through the pedestal idol of what I wanted as a mom to see my mom for who she is. And then from that place, from the pedestal, it kind of goes, can easily go into an angry, dislike, judging place. And somewhere between those two, we come to that place where we can see our mom for who she was and begin to open ourselves to accepting the fact that she's a human being who had disappointments, who had patterning that didn't serve her, that taught her to cope in ways that didn't serve you, but is what she knew. And as we can start to see our mom in that wholeness, the only reason to do it, I promise you, the only reason to do it is not for her. It's not for her. It's for you. You cannot see your own wholeness until you see your mother's wholeness. That's a really strong statement, isn't it? But it's the truth. Yeah, Lisa.
What wholeness in her? There is
Okay. Good question.
She happens to be at a point right now where every challenging thing about her is smacking my sister and I in our faces, and we're watching her drive herself into the ground trying to care for her own mother. What's the irony of that? And it is the most painful, difficult thing to observe and try to support. And so I'm listening, but I'm like,
okay, so thank you. This is beautiful. So 10 minutes. So your mom, okay, I'm going to back up for a minute. I'm going to tell you a story. You've heard it. Some of you have heard this story. I'm going to tell you this story. It's Easter. There's this mom and daughter. The daughter's there with her kids. They're at the daughter's house and they're making the ham for Easter. And the daughter cuts off the two ends of the ham. And she's been doing it like this for years. And she turns to her mom and she says, "Mom, why do we cut the ends off the ham?" And her mom looked at her and said, "I don't know. It's the way my mother did it." "Oh, well, maybe I should ask my mom why she did it." So the mom calls up the mom who's in the rest home, right? And says, "Hey, Lisa wants to know why we cut off the ends of the ham." And the mom goes, "Oh, because it wouldn't fit in the pan." We learn from our moms what they know. But we don't know what's behind it. We just learn. Cut the ends off the ham. We don't know that our moms, I'm not saying this about anybody's mom, but we don't know that our mom is terrified of intimacy because she was abused as a child. We don't know, and I shouldn't even use the word abuse. We don't know that our mom is terrified of intimacy because she opened her heart to her dad one morning and her dad was in a really foul mood and yelled at her and slapped her. And, you know, in his mind, it's overdone. But that one little moment that she has long forgotten told her, "Whoa, you can't open your heart to do this to somebody because they're going to bop you." All she knows is she keeps her heart guarded. You see, your mom keeps her heart guarded. You learn to guard your heart. You learn to be more reserved. You learn to do it that way. You come into your family and you're more guarded. It's just what you learned. We do what we're taught. And the journey for us with our moms is to start to notice what we were taught that we weren't taught with words. The parts of us that are our mom that nobody ever said, "Don't trust anybody." Usually they do say that. They don't say the things that are, "I feel like I'm not worthy of anybody's attention. I have these needs that aren't being met and nobody's meeting them. So I feel like I don't matter." Well, that feeling like I don't matter, and people think about it. Most of our moms were raised in generations where they didn't matter. Even if they wanted to do something, they had to ask their husband's permission. You're sitting there going, "Really? Yeah." I was just talking to somebody recently who they integrated into their husband's family because the husband's family always did stuff at the holidays, right? And her parents didn't, her mom was raised in a way that said, "Well, if your husband wants to be with that family, that's what you need to do." Do you hear me here? She wanted to be with her mom. Her mom wanted her to be with her mom. But the culture was you did what your husband wanted you to do. That was being a good wife, a good woman. And so our moms were raised in a belief system, a value system that didn't value them. We're in a different paradigm now. And part of us understanding our moms is to understand the culture they came out of so that we can have compassion for their struggle. And Lisa, even with your mom, is that she may feel she has no option but to care for her mom till she's burnt out. Why? Because nobody told her that, but because that's what they did before. That's what they did. That's what for generations. Women have burned themselves out taking care of a parent. And the trying to get through to your mom that she doesn't have to do that is impossible because it's so deep. It's so deep. So, but what's important here is that concept that I need to burn myself out to be of value. That's how I am of value, is to let go of everything that served me, let go of my needs, put myself last. And ours is to not judge that, but to look for it in ourselves. I know, to look for it in ourselves and go, oh, I see. I get it. And this is the gem here. This is a jewel. When you see it in yourself, you go, oh, mom, I get it. I get it, mom. All right, mom, I get it. So now we have compassion. I get it is compassion. And we go, mom, I'm going to do this differently and I'm doing it for you. And as I do this, I'm doing it for you. And we know that from us, it literally ripples as an energy out through our lineage, down to our children, up to our mothers, out to our sisters and our aunts. It ripples out. And so the key thing here is, I get it. I get it. That's where you want to get to. I get it. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Do you hear me? Doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean we weren't hurt. It doesn't mean we didn't learn ways of coping that didn't serve us. It doesn't mean any of that. It means we get it. I just said that wrong. It doesn't mean any. It means all of that did happen. Means all of it did happen. And we can still get it. We can still get it. And this is why we're learning to be present in our bodies, because we can feel it. We can feel the betrayal. We can feel the resentment and the anger. We can feel all those feelings. And at the same time, we can hold a space of grace and compassion. Because if you're feeling it, your mother felt it too. If you're feeling it, your mother felt it too. She wasn't in a position to do anything, perhaps, like you are. My mother couldn't. She couldn't. She couldn't break out of the pattern. But I'm breaking it for her. This is going to sound really silly. But Thanksgiving it was. I set the table for Thanksgiving dinner Thanksgiving's here. Here's the Wednesday. I set it on Tuesday. Okay? I know. Fucking A. Really? Okay, but here's what happened. I grew up in a house where Thanksgiving dinner was, oh, and it was, the table was set literally moments before we sat down for the meal, and it was chaos. It was chaos, and it was always way too much to do. My mom was not organized around it. I did not know that you could set the table ahead of time. So I raised my children. I'm serious. And we never set the table early. It was like turkey's ready, everything. Oh, let's set the table. You know, it takes a while if you're going to set 10, 12, 14 places, 20 places, right? I didn't know you could do it differently. I swear to you, I did not know. This is true and symbolic. I go to my friend Mary Beth's house. This is years ago. And her table is fucking set. The day before, I'm like, what the fuck? What do you mean? It's like, yeah, I said it the day before. What do you mean you said it the day before? It's like, shit, you can do that? It was a revelation to me that you could set the table the day before. Oh my God. Now that seems so obvious, but this is what you have to understand is when you've been raised with it one way, it's not obvious. So my journey was to start setting an hour before. Oh my God, that took a while. Then it got to the morning of. Whoa, that was huge. Day before. Oh man, this is nice. You could set it the day before. That's all handled. Yes. And this year I actually set it the day before that day of Wednesday, of Tuesday, because that's when I had the time. And something broke open inside me where I was able to go, Mom, look. We've learned something new. We've learned something new. We can actually look ahead and go, you know, the only time I have to do that and enjoy it is right now. Let's do it. My mom never knew that. She never knew that. I learned it and I shared it with her and I hold her in my body. And every victory I have, I share with her. I mean, it tears me up. And today when I think of my mom, it's like, Mom, look at all the things we've learned. Look at all the things we've learned. And so what I want to give you about your moms is like, let go of the Hallmark card, Jesus Christ, that's toxic, right? She knows who she is. She knows what she did. She doesn't want you glorifying her. Well, maybe some of your moms might, and if that's what they want, do it. But I think really what people, women want to, is to be seen for who they are, to be acknowledged of the struggles and how well they did given the struggles they were up against, and acknowledge that. So Lisa, since you're the one who spoke up, I would just simply say, can you just, okay, Mom, I get it. And look at how you do the same thing in your own family with your children. And you go, oh, I get it, Mom. Of course you're doing it that way. And it's hard. Yeah. That's all she wants. She wants to be seen. So for your moms, for Mother's Day, see them. Feel compassion for them. But mostly, bring them deep down inside you. Even if they're still alive, bring them inside you and make it a joint effort to change and heal and grow together. Every victory you do is a victory for them. Every time you do it the same as they did, you go, oh, Mom, here, well, look, we did it again. that's a tough pattern to break. That's yesterday's workshop in a nutshell. I hope it made sense. Steve, I love seeing you nod, and I know you're going to get to see your mom in a few weeks. That just warms my heart. Yeah. Yeah. So with that, we're at 10:30. But what I'd like to do is just leave you with this beautiful place. Let you reflect on this for a few moments, especially some of you moms who may have a few moments of respite before you go back. Let's close with a blessing for our moms. So let's find our seats. And bring the picture to your mind of your mom as she is today. Or if she's passed, as is mine, the age and how she looked when she passed. And then let that merge into a picture of her when she was, you know, 20 years younger. As you remember her maybe when you were a teenager or newly married. And as you see her like that, can you just hold a sense of, wow. Wow. And then let that image of her be replaced by her when she was 20. And she had all these dreams and all these hopes for her life. And many of them didn't come true. Many of them didn't come true. And can you hold some real compassion for a woman who had dreams that didn't come true? And then let that be replaced by an image of your mom when she was, you know, maybe 16. 16. You know what 16 is? You've all been 16. You have all these dreams and secret delights and things that you don't tell anybody about, that you just, you think about, that you enjoy. You have these fears and these concerns. You so want to be liked. You so want to be invited to this or that. Your mom had those same things. And then bring yourself a picture of your mom when she was a baby. Hopefully you've seen a picture of her at some point when she was 3, 4, 6, somewhere in there. And she was a beautiful, beautiful possibility. Possibility. And every one of these parts of your mom, this possibility, just bring her into you. Just as you had possibility, she had possibility. When you see her at 16, just in your own way, just kind of imagine her just melting into you. The same hopes and dreams and excitements, crushes, first jobs. When she's 20, and I say 20 symbolically, you know, it's kind of the year of a lot of women got married. And they entered that marriage with all kinds of hopes. So whatever that point was for your mom. And then she entered into that marriage and it wasn't what she wanted. Wasn't what she thought. Just like you. Just like you. She had that experience. And can we have some compassion for that? And then let's take that part of her, integrate it, let her dissolve into us, and then bring her, maybe that image of her 20 years ago, 20 years before she died, whatever that is. And that part of our mom, let's integrate her, let's draw her into us, hold her. And then our mom as she is today. Our mom as she is today. Can we just honor her. Hold a thought of thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to get it. And then enfold her. Just enfold her. And I'm going to leave you here to sit with this for a few moments. Just enfold your mom. She's part of you. She's part of you. May you be blessed, dear sweet ones. May you be blessed. And may you be triply blessed so that as the years unfold, you will be a blessing to your mom. Namaste. 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 See you next week.